Good to see everybody again. We'll continue with the third in the series of the Book of Job, Two Scenes in Heaven. There are two kinds of movie actors. Either he plays the good guy or he plays the bad guy, right? Either he plays the good guy or he plays the bad guy. But this is not how Malcolm Ford explains to his preschool classmates what his father, Harrison Ford, does for a living. Malcolm Ford says, "My daddy acts in movie scenes. In these movie scenes, sometimes he plays the good guy and sometimes he plays the lawyer." Two scenes are described for us in Job chapter 1, verses 6 to 12, and chapter 2, verse 1, to the first half of verse 7. In both of these scenes, neither the good guy nor the lawyer is present. In both of these scenes, God and Satan held conversations. Twice, God called Satan's attention to Job's godly character. And twice, Satan accused Job of insecurity and faulty motives for his faith and faithfulness. We have Roman numeral 1, scene 1 in heaven. Scene 1 in heaven. Lights, camera, action! And letter A. Dialogue begins. Job chapter 1, verses 6 to 8 says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" The sons of God came to give a report to God. Apparently, these were angels who were reporting on their activities. Presumably, they will also get new orders from God. When the angels were reporting to God, Satan appeared among them. Verse 6. Although Satan sinned against God and forfeited his position against God's throne, he still had access to heaven. Satan is probably an intruder in this scene. God asked Satan where he had come from. God obviously knew all about Satan's actions. He was well aware that Satan had noticed Job. Satan answered that he had just come from walking about on the earth. As Satan roamed the earth, he watched those who had put their faith in God. Satan wanted to find reasons to accuse them. Satan paid particular attention to Job. God asked Satan if he had considered Job. Verse 8. The suggestion seems to show God's confidence in Job and implies his support of Job. God then pointed out what was obvious about Job. He was blameless and upright, and he feared God and turned away from evil. Interestingly, God's description of Job employed the same four terms that appears in the opening verse of the book. It is striking to learn that God commended one of his creatures. He spoke of Job's righteous character with delight and pleasure. God is not a condemner of the brethren. He is the commander of the brethren. Romans chapter 8 verse 31 says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Question. Have you ever thought what God might say about you? Have you ever thought what God might say about you? Would the words blameless and upright come up? Letter B. Satan's accusation. Satan's accusation. Job chapter 1 verses 9 to 11 says, "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." The name Satan means accuser. Satan roams about looking for occasions to accuse believers before God. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." In this verse, Satan is compared to a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Believers should be aware of Satan's destruction mission. They should not take him lightly. They should take steps to strengthen their faith in God. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 16 says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked," that is, Satan. They should realize that Satan will step up his attack as they grow stronger in the Lord. Revelation chapter 12 verse 10 says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." Satan is very serious about his mission to accuse believers. Satan is described in this verse as accusing believers day and night. Satan is just like the politicians. You know why? 90% of all politics is deciding who to blame. While God commands his children, Satan indicts them. Satan accused Job of having faulty motives for his righteous lifestyle and of being fickle in his faith, verses 9 to 10. In essence, Satan told God that Job was faithful merely because of all the wonderful things God had given him. If God were to take those things away, Satan argued, Job would defect from the faith and abandon God. Now, where do you think Satan got the idea that Job was serving God with a fickle faith? It could be that Satan has seen fickle faith in other people who claim to love God. There are believers whose faith is fickle and who turn from God as soon as their lives get bumpy. Are you one of them? Are you one of them? God knew that Job was not one of them. That is why he suggested Job as someone for Satan to consider. Satan's false accusation became the reason behind the suffering in Job's life. That brings us to letter C, God's response. God's response. The young daughter's mother was gone for the evening. So the daughter was sitting in her mother's chair and playing mother for her father and her brother. Her father watched this maternal performance with amusement, but her brother was annoyed. Her brother decided to challenge her authority by asking her a domestic question. So, if you are mother, how do you make beef stroganoff? The girl answered, "I am much too busy to answer your question right now, young man. Ask your father." The sister responded to the brother's question. Or consider a mom asking her preschool daughter, "Would you like an ice cream sundae?" Her daughter thought for a moment and answered, "No, I think I could rather have one today." The daughter responded to the mother's question. Similarly, God responded to Satan's accusation. Job chapter 1 verse 12 says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. God's response to Satan stands forever as a tremendous compliment to Job. God knew Job's faith was genuine. He knew that Job's faithfulness would remain intact. So, to vindicate Job before the hounding accusations of the devil, God decided to permit Satan to put Job to the test. He told Satan that he could touch all that Job had. If only Job had known what was going on behind the curtains of heaven. But then again, if he had known, these tests would not have been tests at all. Although God let Satan test Job, he restricted Satan from actually affecting Job's physical well-being. This restriction accentuates the observation Satan made in verse 10, "Hast not thou made an hedge about him?" God did place a hedge of protection around Job so that nothing could enter Job's life without God's approval. The doctrine of the hedge in Job chapter 1 assures us of God's protection in this life. But God has provided eternal protection too. Later, Job will identify God as his Redeemer. Job chapter 19, verse 25 says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." This is the ultimate hedge. By saving grace, God hedges the believer against the judgment of eternal damnation. Job could not hear the dialogue between God and Satan, but he knew that God was his Redeemer. He also knew that somehow in all of this adversity and pain, God was his Refiner. Job chapter 23, verse 10 says, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Job chapter 1, verses 13 to 22 report that Satan did test Job as God allowed. In one painful tragedy after another, Satan took away Job's wealth, his children, and almost all of his servants. He left only those who would bring bad news to Job. Despite emotionally painful circumstances, Job refused to curse God and defect from the faith. God was right and Satan was wrong. As Satan left God's presence to bring tragedy unto Job, he was most likely delighted with the opportunity to prove God wrong. After he realized Job was not going to curse God, he was angry and disgusted. No doubt, Satan hates to be wrong, and he hates when believers are genuine. Job was driving him crazy with his relentless faith in God. We too can irritate Satan as we hold on to our faith in God when our lives are turned upside down. We too can irritate Satan as we hold on to our faith in God when our lives are turned upside down. But more importantly, God is pleased when we unwaveringly trust in Him and bring glory to His name. And cut. We move on to Roman numeral 2, scene 2 in heaven. Scene 2 in heaven. Lights, camera, action. And again, letter A, dialogue begins. Dialogue begins. Job chapter 2 verses 1 to 3 says, "Again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." After Job successfully passed the tests reported in Job chapter 1 verses 13 to 22, the angels presented themselves to God again. Once again, Satan appeared with them. Just as in the previous dialogue between God and Satan, God commended Job. He called Job his servant and described him again as none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Verse 3. However, in this dialogue, God calls Satan's attention to the fact that Job still holdeth fast his integrity. Verse 3. Job's grasp on his integrity was tenacious. He proved his deep faith in God was real. God adds in verse 3 that Satan incited him against God, although thou movest me against him. With this statement, God showed that he took responsibility for the tragedy brought on Job. Satan does not have any power over God. Satan could never make God do anything to Job. God always retains his authority. Later, when Job was asking for deliverance, Satan was out of the picture. Job's dealing was with God, and it was God who eventually restores Job's wealth and family. God did not need to ask Satan for permission to restore Job. How should we respond to the fact that Satan has no authority or power over God? should respond with a deeper faith in God. When trials come, we can be confident that God has not lost control of our lives. Satan has not somehow found a loophole in God's authority and gained control over the circumstances of our lives. The words "without cause" in verse 3 indicate that Job did not deserve what happened to him. Yet he responded by holding fast to his integrity. In doing so, Job proved Satan wrong. Satan did not believe Job feared God for nothing. He believed Job's fear was fake. Job showed his faith was real. As far as God was concerned, Job stood vindicated. Adversity had demonstrated that his faith was genuine and his motives were sterling. Of course, God was not surprised with how Job responded. He knew Job's faith was strong and real before the tragedies ever struck. God knows the hearts of all the people just as they are. Satan's accusations did not cause God to doubt Job. I mentioned just a moment ago that God knows the hearts of all the people just as they are. It's important to know this. God cannot be fooled by Satan, and he certainly can't be fooled by us. Our hearts are always open before God. Knowing that should cause us to be honest with ourselves and to be genuine in our relationship with God. Are you genuine in your relationship with God? Letter B, Satan's accusation. Satan's accusation. Since 1928, hundreds of poison pen letters have been written to the inhabitants of Robin Hood's Bay, a village of 800 on the east coast of England. As each recipient thought he was the only person being attacked, few, if any, mentioned the letters until 1948, when it was learned that nearly every villager had received a number of them. All have been abusive and vulgar, and without justification, accused the persons addressed of offenses and crimes, including prostitution, infanticide, and incest. For more than two decades, therefore, these notes have spread great unhappiness and have even caused three successive ministers of the town's one church to resign and move away. Yet the identity of the accuser who wrote those malicious letters is still unknown. But the identity of the accuser is known here. Yet his accusations are just as malicious. Job chapter 2 verses 4 to 5 says, "And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." Satan remained unconvinced. Using two proverbs, he told God that Job would certainly defect from the faith if his own life were afflicted and threatened. As far as Satan was concerned, a human being could tolerate watching others suffer, including one's own family members. But he or she could not tolerate overwhelming personal affliction. Satan does have a point. Intense physical suffering does try a person's faith perhaps more than anything else. Satan's use of the phrases in verse 4, skin for skin, and all that a man has will he give for his life, were probably familiar proverbs of that time. They point out that people, in general, highly value their health and their sense of personal well-being. Have you had intense personal suffering or severe physical restrictions? How do you respond to God during that period of your life? Let's see. God's response. God's response. A pastor promised to visit the kindergarten Sunday school class the following Sunday. So the teacher anxiously prepared. When the pastor asked the children who created them, Jimmy was to say, God made me. The rest of the class was to sit quietly. The big day came, and the pastor paid his visit. He said, can anyone tell me who made us? Silence. He repeated the question. Still, there was silence. Finally, a little girl raised her hand and said, the boy that God made is sick today. The girl responded to the pastor's question. Or consider a father's letter to a son in college. Am enclosing $10 as you requested in your letter. Incidentally, $10 is spelled with 10 and not 2. The father responded to the son's request. Similarly, as in scene 1, God responded to Satan's accusation. Job chapter 2 verse 6 says, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. With the same confidence in Job as before, God granted Satan the authority to afflict Job. Again, however, he put a hedge around Job. Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life, he commanded Satan. God had complete confidence that Job would remain true. He knew Job's heart. The trial of physical suffering would reveal that heart to Satan. Unfortunately for Job, his own wife eventually calls for him to abandon his faith, while his friends accuse him of evil. What is obvious to God is not at all obvious to those around Job. We have dialogue begins. We have Satan's accusation. We have God's response. But we also have, letter D, Satan's action. Satan's action. Horace Mann says, I've never heard anything about the resolutions of the disciples, but a great deal about the acts of the apostles. Similarly, we have not heard anything about the resolutions of Satan, but we are about to see a great deal about his action. John Bradford used to say, I count that hour lost in which I've done no good by my pen or tongue. Satan would agree with John Bradford, although he would say, I count that hour lost in which I've done no good by my hands. The first half of Job chapter 2 verse 7 says, so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord. As soon as he received God's permission to afflict Job, Satan rushed to the task. Now, as then, Satan just can't wait to inflict hardship upon those who follow God. Henry Martin won the honorable title, the man that never wasted an hour. Similarly, Satan is the angel that never wastes an hour. He is our relentless enemy. He delights in seeing God's children suffer, and he waits with great anticipation to see if they will abandon their trust in God. A poster is displayed in all the conference rooms at IMI, computers and disk drives manufacturer. It shows two or three large, ponderous hippopotami standing around with their gigantic mouths wide open. The words on the poster read, "When all is said and done, more is said than done." But in Satan's case, more was done than said. Satan did all he could to make Job miserable. A kindergarten toddler described the painting Whistler's Mother as follows. The painting shows this nice old lady who is waiting for the repairman to bring back her TV set. But Satan was not waiting for Job to fall ill. He afflicted Job's entire body with sore boils. The illness brought intense pain and constant irritation to Job. He had no rest and believed he would eventually die from his illness. People and angels alike can be divided into three groups. Those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, those who wonder what happened. Satan is one who makes things happen. Now, how would you pray for someone suffering from illness? Was Job's greatest need to be delivered from his physical affliction? How should this behind-the-scenes peek at Job's affliction affect the way we pray for those who are enduring trouble? Job's example should show us the need to pray for the spiritual needs of those facing trouble. It's right to pray that God would remove the trouble, but praying for the person's faithfulness and spiritual needs should be our focus. But we should not conclude that Satan is to blame for every illness or physical suffering we face. Nor should we focus on trying to somehow defeat Satan when we are ill. Our focus should be on remaining faithful to God, submitting to his will for our lives, relying on his grace, and glorifying him through the circumstances he has allowed in our lives. Satan is defeated when we draw on God's grace to remain faithful to God. Job's faith proved strong, but it will grow even stronger. God had big lessons ahead for Job that will help him know God like he had never known him before. We will have the privilege of learning those lessons alongside Job in the weeks ahead. And cut. Two scenes in heaven. Each scene began with a setting and God speaking, followed by Satan's accusation and God's response. In the second scene, Satan's action after God's response was presented separately. All the world's a stage begins a monologue from William Shakespeare's As You Like It, spoken by Jacques in Act 2, Scene 7. The speech compares the world to a stage and life to a play, and catalogues the stages of a man's life. If all the world's a stage, then there are only two kinds of players in the end. Those who say to the divine director, "Thy will be done," And those to whom the divine director says in the end, thy will be done. All that are in hell choose the latter role. The question is, which kind of player are you? Which kind of player are you? Let's pray.